Renee Felzer and Monsignor Meachakes, Steve Martinez, Senator Fassani, Masood, Ravi Karantina, Gazza, Sean Helper, and Nancy Kong, and Amy Littlefield, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel McGarry, our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, Jessica Lee, John Wallach, Vesta Godars. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, where the time is 6 o'clock. Unfortunately, there's no concert billboard tonight, so we're going to go straight into Off the Wall. Oh, no, we're not. Okay, there we are. a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, where it's about 110 degrees inside the studio again. You know, sometimes I think the university wants our equipment to melt, you know, so that we follow shortly thereafter. I don't know. It's just, it makes you paranoid, the heat, you know. It just gets to you after a while. And you start seeing things. You start hearing things. And it's not even that hot outside. It's like 60 degrees Fahrenheit outside, you know. I don't understand why it's the middle of the summer inside the control room. But, well, there you go. We're going to try and get through this. If I start ranting and raving too badly, you know why. All right. Where do I begin? Well, of course, last week we had our tribute to Jerry Reamer, and that was very interesting show for me, just thinking back of all the things that we've done here in the past, and the loss of somebody that means so much to us. And it was really cool because later that night, a bunch of us gathered in a local tavern and shared memories and pictures and stories and things like that. And I think that's really the way to remember somebody. It's just sort of gather with friends and make it kind of a celebration of all they did, all they accomplished while they were here. And not fixate so much on the sadness of it. There's plenty of time for that, obviously, but it is good to salute someone, too. At times like that. So that was very interesting. We haven't really had a chance to talk about the many things that have been going on in the world that really affect so many of us. And also, of course, we're in the middle of fundraising here, which seems to be lasting forever. We have another 2 weeks to go. please give a call to 631-632-6901. Finn's in the other room, and he will gladly field your call and take whatever amount you can afford to give to the radio station so that we can continue to come your way in these sweltering conditions and talking about world events and local issues and various other things. But all of this is made possible by your donations. And we have all kinds of WUSB paraphernalia, from T-shirts to hoodies, yes, hoodies, and coffee mugs and various other things like that. 631-632-6901 does make us really happy when that phone rings. All right, so where do we begin? I don't know. There's so many things, and we only have an hour, less than an hour, in fact, to go through it all. Okay, you know, is there anyone still out there, after seeing everything that's been going on in the last few weeks, with the whole Trayvon Martin thing, and there was another shooting yesterday in California, and the Ohio school shooting and all that. To anyone who still believes it's not a serious problem, having guns all over the place, that is a bad idea. It's a bad idea to have guns everywhere. You know? Now you have a situation in Florida where not only do you have guns handed out like candy, but people are encouraged to use them at the drop of a hat, literally. This whole stand your ground thing, which is not just in Florida, it's in quite a few places, fortunately not here in New York, where sanity still rules to some degree. But all you have to do is say, yeah, I feared for my life, and had to kill the guy. Justified. You know what? Homicide is never justified. Murdering somebody is never justified. It's a horrible thing whenever you have to do something like that. Yeah, sometimes it's unavoidable, but it's never something you should hold your head up high about and say, yeah, I did the right thing. Maybe it was a choice of one wrong thing versus another wrong thing, and you picked the lesser of the two wrongs, but it's still a wrong thing to take someone's life. That's always the case. It should never be considered a reasonable option. But yet, we've distorted things so much, and I say we because we all bear responsibility for this. We have distorted things so much where people can actually walk through the 21st century with a Wild West mentality, saying that if this guy looks at me funny, I'm going to take him out. And no, I'm not a member of a street gang, I'm a member of respected society. And this is okay, because the NRA says so. Well, you know what? It's not okay. It's unhealthy. It's sick. There's something seriously wrong when things like this are accepted by anybody, let alone the mainstream. Stand your ground. Well, it's just so incredibly insane that such a law can exist, where all you have to do is say. You don't even have to fear for your life. You have to say that you feared for your life, just like cops do. When cops kill people, they always say they were afraid that somebody was going to kill them, burst through all their armor and all their weapons that they are equipped with, and somehow get to them. It's never believable, but it's always believed. Now, we've given everybody the right to do the same thing. I guess that's fair. I mean, why give cops that right and not everybody else? Okay, fine. Point taken. But it's not right. It's not healthy. And if you look at the case of Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, it simply is incredible to me that that this case is still going on, that nothing has happened. Now, you can point to George Zimmerman and accuse him of being a racist, or just accuse him of being stupid. Honestly, I don't think it's that relevant right now, whether or not he's a racist, because it's been overshadowed by something a lot bigger. We may never know if he had racist thoughts in his head at that particular moment in time. But what we do know is that the system is stilted in such a way that somebody of a different color than the mainstream is at a tremendous disadvantage from the beginning. I mean, you could not have it painted more clearly than to see the way this case unfolded. Where a kid just walking down the street not only is accosted for no reason, that right there is wrong, but is attacked and is murdered. And nothing happens for more than a month now. Despite all the overwhelming evidence. I mean, the latest thing is that the videotape has been released somehow. Don't know how the cops let this one go, because they have taken the side of George Zimmerman from the beginning, trying to make it seem like this kid was the aggressor when the kid didn't have any kind of weapon whatsoever. And according to numerous witnesses and now voice experts, it was the kid who was crying out for help. But this latest videotape shows that Zimmerman is lying. He said that he was attacked, that his nose was broken, that he was bloodied, that he was in fear for his life. Yeah, that's why he had to do it. But the videotape shows him being walked into the police station, not limping, not wounded in any sense, no blood on his face, no blood on his clothes. He's in fine shape. And you know what? I'm going to put forth a rather controversial thought in today's society. If somebody breaks your nose, you still don't have the right to kill them. Yeah, I know. That's that far-left mentality of mine saying such a thing. But I think that's really the way it is. I think that's the way it should be. You don't have the right to just kill somebody because you think that they're going to gain some kind of advantage over you. No, it just is not right. And the fact that this has been delayed for so long, and that the police are leaking bits of information to try and assassinate the character of Trayvon Martin, it shows you how deeply rooted in the system this is. And yeah, this is definite racism here. There's no question about that. All you have to do is just look at how this played out and ask yourself, if it had been reversed, all right, if George Zimmerman had been the one to have gotten killed, because apparently in Florida anyone can carry a gun, do you think Trayvon Martin would have been walking around for over 30 days without even being arrested? Not likely. And if you really believe that's the case, I put forth that you're fooling yourself. So, it's exposed an awful lot as far as how these things play out and the incredible gaps in justice that exist in this country. It's a lot bigger than George Zimmerman now, a lot bigger. And, you know, this might not sound right to a lot of people, but I do kind of feel sorry for the guy. I mean, he messed up big time, no question about that. He must know this by now. And anytime there's a mob crying for your blood, well, I kind of sympathize with the person. But the fact is, he did take a life. He took a life without merit, without any kind of real provocation. If there was anybody who provoked anything, it was him. The phone records support this. The witnesses support this. And the video supports the fact that he is lying. What bugs me more are the people standing up for him, the people saying that, we need to do things like this. This guy is totally in the right. All these people walking around with their hoodies. And what about all the other black-on-black crime? Just go to any message board on any news site that's foolish enough to just allow anybody to post, and you will see the most racist, the most primitive of all intellects posting away there merrily, saying all kinds of horrible things, and I think that exposes the true face of our society. And that's something that's been brought out in this case, big time. And it's not just a few people. A lot of people feel this way. I know people will feel this way. I know people who would be suspicious of a black kid walking around in a hoodie. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. There are people within probably 100 feet of me who feel this way. I'm sure I have elements of that inside me as well, and you do too. And if anyone feels they don't, I think, again, you're fooling yourself. These are ideas that have been planted into us throughout an entire lifetime of programming. And it takes a lot to fight it. It takes a lot to push that aside and say, no, that's not right. And so given that, given the fact that there are so many people out there now who feel apprehension whenever they pass somebody of a certain color, wearing a certain kind of clothing, and making assumptions, but it just shows where we are as a society, and it's not a good place. And why does racism make it worse? It makes it worse because it makes it so easy. It makes it so easy to get away with. It makes it so easy to perpetrate in the first place. Now, all the other kinds of crimes that take place, white on white, black on black, those are horrible too, but those are crimes, just regular crimes of people shooting at each other like they do in this country all the time. For one reason or another, whether they're in different gangs or somebody stepped up to somebody else or someone didn't like the way somebody uttered a particular phrase. All meaningless reasons. But when you target somebody simply because of the way they look or the religion they follow, or the people that they feel affection for, you target somebody just for those reasons, it's so much easier. And when the system allows you to get away with that, that is so much worse. That's why race matters here. And, you know, if it wasn't for all these organizations speaking up, this case might very well have disappeared. And you got to wonder how many other cases like this have disappeared in the past. So don't be suspicious of these voices that are raised in protest. They're doing a service for everybody. But, you know, we set all this up, and the NRA has blood on their hands, as do so many of the people who blindly follow them, and help insane mentalities like this, where people think it's okay to walk around and just, you know, shoot first and ask questions later. Even 20 years ago, this would have been seen as outrageous, and now it's considered pretty much the norm. I've learned that if you spout nonsense repeatedly, over and over again, and people give up refuting you, eventually that nonsense takes on an air of legitimacy, and people start to believe it. Just out of weariness, they don't want to argue anymore. They just believe it. And I've seen that happen so much with regards to the so-called gun rights and what America stands for and all that. It's very, very unhealthy. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into this whole Second Amendment argument, because it's pointless. It really is pointless. Except to say that a lot of us are having the wool pulled over our eyes, and a lot of us have just lost any motivation to keep arguing the point. Now, okay, the Second Amendment says, it's actually two versions, did you know this? There's two versions of the Second Amendment. I'm going to read them both. You might not notice the difference, but I'll explain the difference. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Kind of reads like a poem, doesn't it? It's in four phrases there. Four commas. Actually, three commas. Four phrases. Now, that's as passed by the Congress. Now, as ratified by the states and authenticated by Thomas Jefferson, who was Secretary of State, it reads this way. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. One comma, two phrases. also, interestingly, the words militia, state, and arms are not capitalized in this version. Now, I don't know what the difference is between those two. I really don't. But I do know that the people who are constantly harping on, well, the Constitution says we can carry guns all the time and bring them to school and show and tell and all that, they always leave out the part in the Second Amendment that says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Okay, you know what? Where is the well-regulated part of all this? If it just said the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, then there would be no argument as far as what the meaning of that is. But since you have that first part saying a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, obviously it has something to do with the end part. Now, I know English comprehension is not high on the list of priorities these days. I know it's fallen out of fashion. But this is a sentence, and it's written kind of weirdly, I know, because it's from the 1700s. But it's not hard to realize that there is some kind of relationship between this well-regulated militia and this so-called right to keep and bear arms. All right, and then once we understand that, we can move on from there. But we've given up. We've given up. We've just sort of thrown that out and said, oh, yeah, you know what? It means everybody can just carry guns and do whatever they want. Well, this is the result. Look around you. Look at our nation. Look at what we've become. It's pathetic. It's the laughingstock of the world. And are we any safer? I don't think so. Every time we see a story similar to the George Zimmerman case, or some person losing it in a mall or a school or whatnot, every time you see somebody settling an argument with a gun or committing murder-suicide that doesn't even make the newspapers anymore, every time you see that, that's an example of the harm that is caused. You don't hear about this in the NRA statistics. You hear about the people that are heroically saving lives with their guns somehow. I don't really know of cases like this. But you don't hear about the cases where so many lives are lost because somebody has access to something that's really dangerous and they don't know what they're doing. Or they do know what they're doing, and they really shouldn't have access to weapons of destruction like this. Now, in keeping with the lunacy of the times, what's the response to this? The response is, well, let's have more guns. If everybody had a gun, then this wouldn't be a problem, would it? I mean, get real. When's the last time that you had to draw a gun in a second to prevent somebody else from shooting you? Bullets move very fast. If someone starts to shoot you, they'll probably finish shooting you before you're able to even reach into your pocket. Unless you're a quick draw McGraw or something. Is that such a person? Did I just make that up? Well, you know, if you really have to have some quick reflexes, you really do, in order to do this, in order to live this kind of fantasy life. And it is a fantasy life. Now, let's just dispel a couple of things here. A couple of inaccurate facts that are always being passed around. First off, this government, any government in this country, it's never going to come and take away everybody's guns. That's not going to happen. First of all, how could it happen? when you have people who are armed to the teeth, it's very, you're going to have a bunch of Wacos every time the authorities move in and try and disarm people. It's not going to happen. Even I know this. So right away, the motivation for going out and buying bullets and buying more guns kind of goes out the window, because that ain't happening anytime soon. It's never going to happen. And so then you have this this other myth that the reason people are stockpiling all these weapons is to protect themselves against tyranny, against some kind of dictatorship or unjust government. Well, look around you. Look at the things that have happened in the last, 10, 20 years. Just today, in fact, in the British newspaper, The Independent, very interesting story. I don't know if you heard about it. It should be front page everywhere. The man whose weapons of mass destruction lies led to hundreds of thousands of deaths confesses all. Yeah, this is the guy known as Curveball, the Iraqi defector, made claims about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. He's the guy that supposedly convinced Colin Powell that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Went before the United Nations, claimed this. Was the whole reason the Iraq War happened. Now, people back then, lots and lots of people, I know many of them, said this is a lie. It's all a lie. Don't believe it. Yet we were pulled into this horrible conflict where thousands of our own people were killed. It dwarfed 9/11 as far as terrorist acts on our people, which I do consider this to be one, perpetrated by our own government. Because they didn't care. They didn't care about the individuals they were sending over there. Could not care less. They wanted control. They wanted strategic advantages. Didn't care how they got there. And they had to have known this guy was full of it. Because so many other people did. So, there you go, right there. Something to get really upset about. Something to go and take down the government about. Something to storm the houses of the people who perpetrated this, the genocide that happened. The mass killings. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people died as a result. Most of them not on our side, obviously. But that's still a reason to basically surround somebody's house with your six shooters or whatever and take them away for trial in a fair court somewhere. Come on, guys, you got your guns, you got your injustice. When are you going to step up? When are you going to actually use them for this? You have a situation where so many people are losing their homes, so many people are being forced into bankruptcy because they can't get health care. where people after serving in the military develop all these diseases or come back with missing limbs, and they're just basically left out with the trash. Because just like Animal Farm, once you're no longer of use, you might as well be dog food. So, yeah, you know what? You got your reasons. We survived 8 years of George W. Bush, tearing apart freedoms, doing all kinds of horrible things to this country that a true patriot would defend. The country, that is, not what he did to it. The reason, and I think everybody who owns a gun knows this, the reason is your guns aren't going to do anything against the might of the U.S. government, against the might of the U.S. military. No, it's never going to have that kind of effect. Maybe in the 1700s, yeah, it might have made a difference then. It makes no difference now. That's why you will never see this kind of action. So throw that reason right out. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do with taking down a dictatorial regime. No matter how many guns you're stockpiling in your basement, you're never going to reach the stage where you can do this. Oh, yeah, you might take out a few innocent people. You might cause, you know, some kind of CNN round-the-clock coverage when you finally go nuts. But you're not going to have any effect. If anything, you're going to push things further in the wrong direction. Because people will say, hey, look at the nutcase. That's what it, that's the kind of thing that nutcases believe in. So, we get rid of that reason. I think we come to the real reason. And please, stay with me here. If you may violently disagree with me on this, but is not the reason why people feel the need to arm themselves is to protect themselves against other people who have done the same thing. I can understand that, at least. And I think that is the real reason for protection, to protect your house, to protect your person, to protect your car, your kids, whatever. It's a dangerous world out there. And that's why people feel the need. I don't know why they feel the need to get so many different kinds, but it's the main reason why in the first place, because people feel unsafe. Now, I think we can make a lot of progress if we can just agree that that's the reason why people do this. It's not got nothing to do with the Constitution. It's got nothing to do with taking down dictatorial regimes. It's got to do with feeling unsafe. And whether you're afraid of black people or whether you're afraid of neighborhood watch zealots, you feel that you'd be safer carrying a piece. We can then agree. We can agree that the reason why there are so many guns proliferating is because there are so many guns out there in the first place. We can agree that that is a problem. Which brings me back to my point at the beginning. It's a real problem. All the weapons that are out there, it's out of control. And it's not going to be solved by adding more into the mix. So with all that in mind, the fact that the government's not going to come and take away your weapons, the fact that your weapons are going to have absolutely no effect on any kind of regime change here, the fact that you don't feel safe right now walking around the streets and you feel you have to arm yourself, maybe that can lead to some kind of a dialogue as to, okay, how do we move beyond this? How do we save the country? Because you can't keep stockpiling weapons and having people shooting each other for all kinds of different reasons. The more and more trivial, you look at somebody wrong these days, you gotta worry, hey, is this person going to come back in a week or two with an Uzi or something? It just happened yesterday in California. Some guy didn't like the way he was treated in the school, came back and took out 7 people. It seems every week something like this happens. And when you give people the ability to do that kind of a thing, they're going to do that kind of a thing. It's going to happen. And no matter how many people you hand out arms to, it's not going to stop them. You can always say, oh, yeah, they would have killed 20 people instead of 7 if we didn't have these guns that we finally used to subdue him. But odds are it's not going to make any difference whatsoever because it doesn't take very long at all. And when you have the element of surprise, you have a tremendous advantage. Now, you can look at the case in Norway last year where all those kids were murdered on an island by one crazed lunatic and say, yeah, if those kids had had guns, it would have been different. And you know what? It probably would have been different. You're right. It probably would have been different in that case because they were isolated on an island. And it took over an hour, I think, for the cops to get there. But in their particular case, and I think this is something that we can all learn from, it was more important to the people, to people in Norway, to the culture, to stand up for what they believe in, to not change, to not become a nation of people who felt they had to shoot first and ask questions later, or people who felt like they're about to be attacked at any time. To them, it was more important to stick to their ideals, to continue to walk around without fear, despite what happened, despite the actions of one crazy lunatic. Yeah, it's always possible a lunatic can do something. Always possible. But does that change you? In our case, yes, it sure does. It sure did change this country. But in Norway, they opted to remain the people they are, to the great consternation of people here who don't understand why. Why, after somebody did this, would you insist on not walking around armed or insist on having your prime minister walk in the street without a bodyguard or various other things that Norway is known for? Well, if you truly believe that something matters, you'll be willing to take risks for it. And hats off to them for standing up for their ideals. I think that's a very important thing. But as far as the subject of becoming unhinged, this is something that I think we really need to understand as well. Anybody can become unhinged. We just saw an airline pilot become unhinged. It wasn't very long ago that there was a massive push on to arm all the airline pilots because they were about to be attacked by terrorists and all kinds of other people. Well, gosh, what would that have been like? A crazed psycho airline pilot running through the aisles with a gun. That's what you would have had then. There was nobody who was immune from this. Nobody. We like to say that that weapons in the hands of law-abiding citizens is actually a good thing. But you know what? Every single one of these people was a law-abiding citizen until they stopped being a law-abiding citizen. And then they turned into a crazed psycho. But you know what? They were the people that yesterday you would have been defending for having guns in the first place. The next day, they were somebody else. It can happen to anybody. And last week, I lost it with a copy machine. All right? Yeah, it just... I even went in there knowing it was going to be a challenge. And after the fourth jam in a row, started to get a little tense. When it got over 20, I just turned into a screaming maniac. I started throwing things. I started, I could have caused a lot of destruction. And if I had a gun, I dare say that copy machine might have some holes in it right now. Yeah, I'm not the kind of person you want to see packing, believe me. I could lose it at any point, but at least I know that. It amuses me the people who say, oh, no, I can never lose control. You know what? You're fooling yourself as much as if you say you don't have any racism in you. Because we all have that in us. We all have the ability to kill. I don't care if you're a vegan or what. Everybody has the ability to go completely nuts and murder somebody. It's in there someplace. It's part of our DNA. Sorry to say, but it's true. Now, with that in mind, does it make sense to make it so easy for people to have access to all of this destruction, where at just a moment's notice, they can destroy lives and destroy their own life, obviously. And for what? So that they might feel a little bit safer because other people are doing the same thing. Yeah, at some point, we have to realize that it's all smoke and mirrors, and we're not accomplishing anything except just driving ourselves deeper and deeper into paranoia and not much else. So that's my view. And I don't get all kinds of hate mail on this. Okay, fine. Bring it on. Tell me that I'm a hypocrite for supporting the First Amendment but not supporting the Second Amendment. First of all, I do support the Second Amendment. I just interpret it differently than I would say the majority of people now interpret it, because the majority of people have given up arguing. And so people say, yeah, okay, it means you can do whatever. That's pretty much what they have said now. I've seen the First Amendment used countless times, to topple those who are trying to intimidate others, intimidate those who are weaker than them, put forth all kinds of restrictions or high penalties, basically control how people talk, how people think, what people do. And I've seen the First Amendment used constantly, whether it be at a demonstration, whether it be in the printed world, whether it be on the internet. I've seen that happen so many times. Freedom of speech is true power. Now, I cannot think of a single time, and I'm only going back about 100 years, you know, in the 1700s, okay, you know, it was a slightly different world, but in the last 100 years or so, I can't think of a single case where a bunch of people with guns were able to stop our government from doing something bad. I haven't seen that happen. So I don't think it's the same thing. About the only thing that all these people with guns have accomplished is stifling the conversation about all the people with guns, because nobody wants to deal with it. How do you deal with it? How do you possibly move beyond this when it just gets more and more mired in shootings and complete chaos and mayhem? You know, I've been listening to a lot of Dylan albums lately. This might seem off topic a little bit, but I'll get back to the topic, believe me. What I'm doing is, and this is amazing, and you can do this for almost anything that you decide you're into, James Bond movies or albums or TV shows, books, whatnot. But basically, what I'm doing here is, I started at the very beginning, the very first Bob Dylan album, which I never even heard. You know, he looks like he's 10 years old. And basically, downloading the album, legally, of course, and then going to Wikipedia, reading about the album, clicking on every single song, reading about every single song, listening to the album over and over and over again, getting those songs in my head, learning something about that history, about the history of the country at the time. It's a blast. It really is. That's a way to learn about things. And so I basically went through the whole protest phase that he started with, into the electric phase. And now, in 1967, when everybody was going, psychedelic, what does he do? He goes back to acoustic and starts flirting with country music. It takes guts. It takes guts to do that. So right there, that was interesting. But in 1967, an album called John Wesley Harding came out, which, believe it or not, this album is the biggest typo in the rock world, because the guy that he named the album after was not named John Wesley Harding. He was named John Wesley Hardin, H-A-R-D-I-N. It was a mistake. He added the G, thinking it was there, and the song, the self-titled song, was also wrong. The whole thing was wrong. Not really the point, but I started reading up on this John Wesley Hardin. He was an American outlaw, a gunfighter, and a controversial folk hero of the Old West. Yeah, I'm getting back into topic now. He was born in Texas, and he got into trouble right away, practically at birth. Now, he claims to have killed 42 men, but newspapers of the era attributed only 27 killings to him. I guess it's a point of honor. Now, going through the Wikipedia page about him right now, I'm just reading case after case of all these altercations. Like this, for instance, January 20th, 1870, Horn Hill, Limestone County, Texas. Hardin reportedly killed a man in a gunfight after an argument at the circus. Yeah, argument at the circus, gunfight. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's where we're heading again. Less than a week after this incident, in a nearby town, he was escorting a saloon girl home when they were accosted by a man demanding money. Hardin threw his money on the ground. Then, when the would-be thief bent to pick it up, he shot him dead. You could say that's justifiable. You could call him an ancestor of George Zimmerman. Who knows? But that's how disputes were settled then. So how do you think he met his end? Well, okay, it's not that surprising. El Paso lawman John Selman Jr. arrested Hardin's friend and part-time prostitute, the widow M. Rose, for brandishing a gun in public. Well, Hardin confronted Selman and the two men argued. Selman's 58-year-old father, Constable John Selman, himself a well-known gunman, approached Hardin on the afternoon of August 19, 1895, and the two men exchanged heated words. That night, Hardin went to the Acme Saloon, where he began playing dice. Shortly before midnight, Selman Sr. walked into the saloon, and in the ensuing confrontation, he shot Hardin in the head, killing him instantly, and before he could return fire. And as Hardin lay on the floor, Selman fired three more shots into him. He claimed he had fired in self-defense, and a hung jury resulted in his being released on bond, pending retrial. But before that trial could ever happen, John Selman Sr. was killed in another shootout with U.S. Marshal George Scarborough, following a dispute during a card game. And it just goes on and on. Go into these Wikipedia accounts of people back then, and it's just one shooting leading to another shooting, and that is basically how the West was back then. And I just feel like people want to go back to that. For some reason, people want to settle disputes this way or walk around packing all the time, feeling like they got the world at their fingertips or whatever. I don't know. It's not healthy. It's definitely not healthy, and I think we need to agree on that. We need to agree it's not healthy. We need to agree the real reasons why people are into this sort of thing. It's cool to collect anything. I know that. And if you feel like you're in danger, I understand that as well. I just don't happen to agree that that's the way to be safer. You might feel safer, but I don't think you actually are safer. But again, this is where we can start having the dialogue. Now, the government, like I said, is not going to move in and start taking people's guns away, but at least we can start talking as fellow citizens. Because the people pushing for gun control, it's not the government. It's your fellow citizens. And yeah, you got to deal with them. You got to deal with them without your weapons. Because they're the people you have to live with. All right. You know, I wanted to talk about healthcare as well. But I don't think we have time. There is so much we can get into as far as... My healthcare, by the way, my insurance went up 45% this month. Yeah, they just announced it. 45%. It's all right. That's it. Go somewhere else if you don't like us. Now, get this. I'm paying over $500 a month for an insurance policy where there's a $5,000 deductible. Which means that they never pay anything. It was good when it started. It was only a couple hundred bucks, and that was a few years ago. And since then, they've used every excuse in the world to raise rates. And now, I'm paying a huge amount for nothing. Might as well be making a donation. So yeah, I feel a little heated when people out there say that they resent being told that they have to get insurance. You know, everybody at some point is going to need health insurance, health care of some sort. And it's really, really frustrating to live in a country where that sort of a thing is just allowed to consume people, to steal their money, to steal their homes, and to basically make their lives a living hell. I haven't gotten to that stage, but I can see it coming. I can see the I can see everything being set up for that. But like I said, this is something that we'll get into in further weeks. You know, I said Finn should come in here at the beginning of the show. It's now 6:53. I'm sorry, but Finn, come on in. Since we're not getting phone calls right now because everyone is busy writing letters to get me kicked off or to get me held in contempt of the Wild West or whatever it is that people do when they get really upset. And Finn, welcome. Let's bring that microphone over. There you go. How are you?
Hey, Emmanuel, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm sitting in the green room back there, and I'm waiting for the phones to ring.
You shouldn't have painted it. Isabel is not going to be happy.
I think it's just turning green. But we we do need some phone calls to come in here to this wonderful station. I've been enraptured by this enlightened common sense discussion you've been having on the air here. And, you know, as all your shows are, very, very thoughtful and et cetera. And I know the audience generally chimes in with conversation, but I think one of the things we'd like them to do is to chime in with a little scratch right now.
631-632-6901 is the telephone number. And what kinds of things might people get if they make
Well, we have all kinds of WUSB swag. $25 gets you a lunch tote, a ceramic mug, which is really nice. I use it all the time myself. I break them occasionally, so I always need replenishment. $35 gets you the glass mug, $35 baseball cap, $50 gets you the T-shirts, the sweatshirts, $75 gets you a whole bunch of stuff, the 35th anniversary things, all this stuff. 631-632-6901. Help the show out. Let Emmanuel know this is an important resource for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm probably the only person in the country left that has these views, but, you know, even if you don't agree with me, it's perfectly okay to, you know, to pledge to the station so you can continue to throw things at the radio or the computer, however you're listening.
Matter of fact, complain with money right now.
Your phone is ringing. So, Finn, yeah, you get on out of here and answer that phone. Thanks so much for stopping by. Finn will be on in only a couple of minutes to basically... play amazing music as he does every week at this time, but not next week at this time. He'll be in France next week at this time. That's going to be awesome. Very jealous. Okay, we're going to go out. You know, I was talking about John Wesley Harding, the album, which was based on named after John Wesley Hardin, accidentally. We're going to play a song. We're going to play a song about immigrants from that album. And what's interesting about that, this never gets played on the radio, it sounds like Dylan is imitating himself. It really does. The voice is just so weird and exaggerated, but cool all the same. And it really is kind of neat to learn about things just by downloading, reading, listening. And you can do that with the net. You can do all kinds of things. You can read books and look at interpretations of them and see films and all kinds of cool things like that. The important thing is to learn from history and build futures and things like that. And please help us build our future. Give a call, 631-632-6901. We'll see you next week. Always let so alone.
Back on.